broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for October the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two. Our goal always to promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property. Yes, indeed, we do so using the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, putting the United States of America as our guide. It is the supreme law of the land. We also use the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Live on your radio, 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, this is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand radio at your fingertips free. Spread the word, share the love, if you will. If you have the heart to help financially, every donation will be used to grow our presence in the media. Quick recap of yesterday's show. We talked about how this McCallion. Anyway, he's the acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security right now, and he was forced off the stage at Georgetown University's law school by lawless thug protesters who shut down his planned keynote address at the university, Georgetown. And I'm saying, why are the cops, why are the campus police, why is security allowing these thugs just to boo this guy off the stage, just to shut him down? This left unchecked, ladies and gentlemen, will make the streets and the colleges and will make life unsafe for anyone. We should not allow this to happen. These disruptors need to be stopped. They need to be taken out. If necessary, they need to be arrested. You need to keep the peace here. This is absolute insanity. You're talking about a legitimate appointed government official under elected officials who lead up, government departments, entities. Now, I don't even believe DHS necessarily is constitutional, but that's another topic. These colleges are government-funded universities. I haven't even heard a peep out of Donald Trump about this. I don't know if you have, but I haven't heard a word from anybody talking about this hardly. How is this allowed to just go unchecked? I don't understand it, but I'm telling you, it needs to be stopped. We need a clarion call for civility. If this gets worse, violence will be spilling into the streets and on college campuses, and then what? I reject the violence. I reject this idea. If you don't like what someone has to say, or you don't believe they're telling the truth, or you have your own opinion about their opinion, that you can just shut them down and force your way? I completely disagree with that. All right, the U.S. unemployment falls to 3.5%. It's a five-decade low. That's pretty good news if you ask my opinion. We talked about an actress. She got fired for posting Bible verse. I guess it was on Facebook. And, well, now she's suing. She is an incredible talent. But this is sending a chilling message to Christians all over the world. All right, we talked about how Google demonizes many conservative news organizations, WorldNet Daily being the chief among them. Shocking examples of big tech's heavy-handed totalitarian methods, writes David Kapilian at WND.com. Good for David. He's spot on. We talked about a city forcing women's shelters to accept men has now changed their tune after a loss in federal court. Yeah, so the women's shelter said, you got to accept men in here. People sued. Court came back and said, nah, you don't have to accept men. There should be a safe place for women. I agree with that. We ought to have the same discussion in the bathrooms and everywhere else. All right, Kanye West continues to be in the news. He defends backing President Donald Trump. He says it's mental slavery to make decisions based on skin color. And boy, do I agree with him. But you know what? That flies in the face of affirmative action and all these other special privileges at the trough. See, I don't believe you ought to use color as your yardstick at all. oh man, for a long time this color had this, and so we're going to do reverse, and we're going to have that. And okay, using color as your metric is bogus. I mean, I'm not a favorite fan of Martin Luther King Jr. It wasn't even his real name, and I don't believe he was an honest guy. He was an immoral guy. But when he said, I have a dream that we focus on the content of one's character, I do agree. All right, we talked about a drag queen reading to children. I guess tours in a, quote, adult gender fluidity show or gender fluids show. Weird stuff, folks. These are the ones reading to your children via your government-funded libraries. I mean, it's out of control, folks. All right, we talked about this incredible doctor. I don't even know how to say his name. But anyway, this guy is just amazing. He's a surgeon, and he's restored sight to 130,000 of Nepal's blind so far. I mean, this guy is intrepid, hikes all over Nepal in an effort to bring sight to the blind. I mean, just a tremendous example. And what if we had that kind of example of people giving service? As far as I understand, Rand Paul and many other physicians reach out and perform this kind of service too. Good on them. You know what? Righteous people in the world aren't content with just blessing their own families. They love to roam around the world and do good things everywhere they go, and I commend them. All right. Colin Powell piles on to Donald Trump, claims that our foreign policy is in shambles, and he's in contrast with Nikki Haley. She says every American should be proud of Donald Trump's foreign policy record. I agree with Nikki. Donald's not doing perfect, but you know what? He's done a lot of good. Let's do more of it. We talked about Donald Trump loses court fight to keep tax records secret, but now he files an emergency appeal, and I think he's winning that appeal. So time will tell what's going to happen with Donald Trump's tax records. But as Kurt wisely says, we got to just shut down the IRS. I wish Donald would take the lead on that, and then everybody would be safe from abuse, privacy violations, and more. All right, while Democrats are pursuing impeachment, Donald Trump puts together, builds impressive record on accomplishments. I agree with that, too. Like or dislike Donald, he's done a lot of good. You can point to it everywhere, from the courts to pro-life. Shall I continue? All right, Kansas has to apologize now. I guess Snoop Dogg, you know, the rap guy, he brought pole dancers into a late-night basketball event. And anyway, it was kind of a disaster, pornographic, etc. And so the Kansas had to apologize for that. I'm just a disgrace. Individuals in New York can be slapped with fines of up to $250,000 if caught using the term illegal alien in a derogatory way. I guess who's in charge of deciding what derogatory means, huh? Your bureaucrat? Your favorite bureaucrat, I guess? I don't know. Wow. All right, in hour two, we talked to Alan Phillips. He's a nationally recognized expert and public speaker on vaccinations. And we talked about ice cream for flu shots that don't even work, the National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org, with that headline. We talked about the disappearing medical exemption to vaccination. Vaccinations are under attack in 2019. That's a sad tale. We talked about a vaccine-damaged girl. Great news on this score. She recovers using aluminum detox. I thought that was a pretty cool story. Good for Kurt bringing that one up. First ever peer-reviewed study of vaccinated versus unvaccinated children shows that vaccinated kids have a much higher rate of sickness and a 470% increase in autism. So there you have the peer-reviewed studies that the mainstream press isn't willing to talk about. We also talked about a two-dose vaccine for chickenpox is now linked to an epidemic of shingles, writes Dr. Brownstein. Wow. We also talked about Ebola vaccine offered for sex, task force meeting in the Congo told. Wow, vaccines exchanged for sex. What a shame in our society. What a disgrace. Facebook says it will start combating misinformation about vaccines. And who's the Ministry of Information for Facebook, huh? They're the ones that decide what's truth and error, what's right and wrong, what's fact and fiction. You're going to trust Facebook for that? The people that have literally been breached and hacked and sold your information to everybody and their dog, they're the ones that are going to decide honesty and vaccinations? Are you kidding me right now? Well, there you have it. All right, guy's name is Jerome Kunkel. Doing a great job. He's a Catholic high school student. He's in Kentucky, and he is suing for his right to not have the chickenpox vaccine. He's suing on religious grounds. I pray for his success. It's sad to me when we don't even know about what's happening in these lawsuits because the mainstream press won't tell us. That's why Liberty Roundtable Live exists. We bring to you news the networks refuse to use. Just think of the headlines we just talked about. All in a two-hour broadcast yesterday. All live at the time, available online for free now, archived, on demand at your fingertips. LibertyRoundtable.com. Spread the word. Tell the tale. News the networks refuse to use. Donate if you have the heart to help. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. That's who we are. All right, and with that, that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, Dick's Sporting Goods, I guess, destroyed more than $5 million in inventory when it comes to guns. And they're super happy about this. The CEO's just elated to tell you that. Anyway, I'll get to the details. Sam and Curtin, in seconds, you are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so Dick's Sporting Goods, I guess, had $5 million plus in rifles, and they just turned it into scrap metal and destroyed it all, Kurt. Do you want to respond to this one? They're all, you know, proud of themselves for this.
That's crazy, by the way. And can you click that switch a little bit so I can hear you a little better?
Yeah,
but, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods, I don't think they've made too many good moves when it comes to this whole thing. I think
Dick's they're losing customers left and right. Is that better?
Yeah. Yes, that's wonderful. Thank you.
They're losing business left and right. Dick's, in my opinion, melting down. But imagine just taking $5 million dollars in guns. Now, even if you think the guns don't, you know, belong on the streets or with the American people that are law-abiding citizens, why don't you give them to the military or give them to, remember, these are, quote, assault rifles, so, you know, the military could use them. Now, I don't agree that they're assault rifles. I'm just making a point here. Why wouldn't you use them for some other purpose? Why would you just destroy them, Kurt? And the answer is it's political brownie points going on here. It's political pandering. It's caving to the atmosphere of fear and terror and horror and all this narrative that isn't even true, Kurt. But shame on Dick's Sporting Goods for that one. Anything else to add on that?
Well, that's exactly right. And they've got to, I mean, if they're going to do this based on just clear dollars, somehow they've got to analyze exactly how much they're going to lose, you know, the $5 million plus guys like you and me that go, man, if I ever go to a Dick's Sporting Goods place in my lifetime again, it'll be too soon. Whereas you know, the communists, the socialists will like them more and somehow give them some more money, you know, and they'll hope that they that's more. But I look at it and think, what about the safety of our society and the world and what's, you know, really right? When you disarm a people, just check it out and look at
the
history.
Yeah, so the CEO, whether it says, if there's just one life that could be saved from the destruction of these $5 million or $5 million, you know, $5 million in guns, you know, I assume that's dollars, right? I don't know if that's dollars or if that's just 5 million guns, but you know, 5 million in guns. I don't know what that means. I assume it's in 5 million guns. Anyway, which is a lot more dollars, but that's here nor there. The point is, this guy's saying, well, if you just save one life, wouldn't it be worth it? And my response is, by selling the guns, if you just save one life, wouldn't it be worth it?
Exactly that guy. And then probably, Sam, the same guy is an animate guy about when it comes to the whole thing about abortions and stuff. He's probably trying to, you know, kill babies. And yet, the weird thing is, you know, kill them on one end and then save lives another place. They're just all mixed up, aren't they?
I think completely mixed up and very sad. Yeah, it's $5 million worth of guns. So I think it means $5 million, which, you know, that's not that impressive. And that's why, that's why I kind of think that it's more of a $5 million in guns isn't much, Kurt. Okay, because $5 million in guns, I mean, what's the average gun they're selling that's that kind of an expense? $500, Kurt? Okay, so I think is a brownie point discussion, not even a dollar discussion. $5 million to a company like Dick's is nothing. But when you talk about guns, how many guns is $5 million at $500 a gun, right? You know, I don't think it's as impressive as it sounds.
I'm sure the guy would prefer to have the $5 million. And what they've done, at least I think, is they've
10,000 guns
analyzed. All right, they've analyzed the picture and they said, hey, you know, by giving up this $5 million worth, we'll get this much media coverage, we'll get this much, you know, whatever out of it. And so, you know, we'll make $50 million out of the $5 million, you know, invested.
I think you're right. And I think what they'll get is some philanthropist or some thug that says, I love you, Dick's Sporting Goods. Thanks for taking the lead on this. Here's, you know, enough to, replace your $5 million or, you know, and now let's just not just get rid of the rifles. Let's get rid of all gun sales at Dick's. That's where they're headed, Kurt. Anyway, I think it's a sad shame. All right, I emailed you a story, Kurt, from our buddy Mark Mix. Now, Mark Mix is with our buddy Patrick Simmons at righttowork.org, and I guess they're still in this big old strike going on. What is it, a GM strike? Is that what it is?
That's right. That's the way I understand.
And this big, massive strike, I guess a poor mother, well, she kind of ended up in the wrong location, Kurt. Headline says, Union thugs viciously attacked a mother. Here's the details. Kurt, go ahead.
Yeah, it says, Dear Sam, another union boss ordered strike has fueled a vicious act of union violence. This time, reports are that the United Auto Workers union thugs bloodied an innocent mother in front of her daughter in Spring Hill, Tennessee, after she accidentally drove near the picket line. Without provocation, a group of union thugs stopped and attacked her car, breaking windows violently enough for her to be cut by flying glass, all while her daughter was screaming in the back seat. Of course, this is just the latest example of union extortion and violence stoked by union bosses, especially during union-called strikes. For decades, union bosses and their enforcers have committed thousands of reported incidents of violence, extortion, vandalism, and even murder, while untold thousands more go unreported. As a result, experts on labor and strike-related violence estimate that acts of extortion, vandalism, threats, and violence likely total over 100,000. Yet far too often, the victims of these vicious acts of violence and intimidation never receive justice, as union thugs go unpunished. You see, union bosses are intent on protecting their coercive empire at any cost, even victimizing the very workers they supposedly represent. Big labor will stop at nothing, they say, to intimidate and coerce innocent Americans into accepting compulsory unionism. Making matters worse, union bosses enjoy unique immunity from prosecution under federal law for acts of violence and extortion orchestrated in the pursuit of so-called legitimate union objectives.
And that's why we're so hard on the unions, ladies and gentlemen. I support the free association.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to have forced unions by compulsion, when you start to have, you know, violent acts with special privilege protection under, quote, the law, that's a mockery of the law. That's the whole opposite purpose from what the proper role of limited constitutional government is. The government is supposed to create a level playing field to give everybody protection and safety and stability. This gives special privilege. This gives the union the ability to literally force compulsion by violence using the supposed law. See, in my mind, that's the color of law, and that's why I stand against forced unions. But anyway, Mark Mix reporting about the UAW and their thug tactics. They viciously attacked this poor mother. Kurt, she's not even involved. I don't know. She just ended up in the wrong spot, as far as I understand. Poor little daughter.
Yep.
Screaming in the background.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me right now? But where's the mainstream press reporting this, Kurt?
I don't think they will, Sam. As far as I know, they're in, together with the unions, you know, as far as I can tell.
All right, after a heart attack, turns out that Bernie Sanders will slow the pace of his campaign, Kurt. Did you see this?
Well, it's really sad to me, Sam, to see that Bernie might be, you know, not doing quite as much on the campaign trail.
So I want to separate issues a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is sad that he had a heart attack, and my prayers are with him and his family, and I hope he's healthy, and I hope things go well, and I pray for less pain and less difficulty for Mr. Sanders and his family. And so we want to be very understanding of that. I don't wish a heart attack on anyone, Kurt. It's a horrible thing. And I want to make that
very clear,
Sam. Even though he's my political...
I mean, it's not like we're wanting him to have a heart attack, but on the other hand...
And we're not, delighted that he's had one either. We're not, you know, mocking that or taking that lightly or anything like that. Even if he is our political opponent, we're saddened that, you know, he's got to go through that. Whenever anybody has health difficulties, we're not happy about that for anybody. You know, when I'm told as a baptized follower of Jesus Christ, I'm supposed to bear one another's burden. It doesn't say if you politically agree with them. So anyway, we're saddened about that. However, on the campaign trail, as far as I understand, Bernie's not going to make it. People are concerned about his health now, Kurt. And we must judge, would he be okay in office? And people are basically saying, no, he's falling apart in the polls and slowing down. As a result, he'll never be, the Democratic contender? All right, hang tight.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news out of Germany, where two people are dead and several others injured after shots were fired near a synagogue north of the German city of Leipzig. Witnesses say a man was wearing camouflage when he opened fire near the synagogue before he left the scene in a vehicle. Police say one person's been detained in connection with that attack that came on the Jewish holiday of Yom Kippur. Hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses in California with no electricity this morning as utilities have shut the power off in 22 counties because of expected high winds and an increased risk of wildfires if power lines come down. This manager at a hardware store in Lafayette, California, says people have been preparing.
Lanterns are gone. Flashlights are just about gone. Batteries we've been filling every 15, 20 minutes, it seems. It's like we're giving away. It's just crazy.
And this is USA Radio News.
If this were just any door, and this were just any ignition, connected to just any transmission, in just any vehicle, then perhaps it would be okay to buy it from just anyone. But this is not just any car. It's a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Every detail has been inspected and road tested by highly skilled Mercedes-Benz technicians, and it's all backed by an unlimited mileage warranty, which makes the decision of where to buy one simple. Your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. The certified pre-owned sales event going on now through October 31st. Come in today and enjoy a credit of up to $1,500 towards your first two payments through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. Because in the end, it's absolute confidence in genuine Mercedes-Benz parts, or it isn't. It's either Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned, or it isn't.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on credit towards your first 2 months payment and certified pre-owned warranties.
The only place I can think of where we had trials like this is in the Soviet Union.
That's President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, as the White House says it will not cooperate in the Trump impeachment investigation. In an 8-page letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, White House counsel Pat Cipollone says the inquiry is constitutionally invalid because the full House has not yet voted on impeachment. And Giuliani says,
this is now worse than a witch hunt.
Turkish military and Syrian rebels reportedly about to cross the Syrian border, a Turkish official making the announcement on Twitter after the announcement from President Trump that U.S. forces are leaving that region. Turkey views those Kurdish fighters in the region as terrorists because of their ties to militants waging an insurgency in Turkey. And this is USA Radio News. Winter-like weather will hammer the northern Rockies and plains in the coming few days. Parts of Montana and Wyoming could get up to a foot of snow. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, so we're saddened that Bernie Sanders had a heart attack, and our prayers go out to his family. We want to separate issues. We're never happy when somebody has health problems. Or somebody gets hurt or something bad happens to somebody. We're not happy about that, even if they are political opponents. So, Sanders will slow pace of his campaign. He will not be the nominee. He doesn't stand a chance now. He's already losing in the polls to Biden and Warren. So he won't be the front runner. I don't know if he's going to get out of the race or what's going to happen, but he will slow down his campaign. I am happy that he won't be the front runner and that he will have to slow down his campaign. I'm happy about that. Only because I don't believe in what he has to say to the country, Kurt. In other words, the guy's a flat-out-avowed socialist, and I reject socialism. And so, therefore, on a political stage, I reject his views completely, and I say they fly in the face of the Founding Father-esque view that we hold, and they fly in the face of the Christian views that we hold as well, and the principles of liberty. So, I'm happy that he won't be the front runner. I'm saddened that he's had a heart attack, and I pray for his family. We want to teach people to separate these issues. I think it's very important to learn to do this because we don't want to attack when someone's down. We don't wish harm on anyone, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more, Sam.
All right. Anyway, that's kind of critical. Hey, Kurt, The new head of the 189-nation IMF, International Monetary Fund. Did you know it was 189 nations strong now, the International Monetary Fund?
Well, all that fiat money all strengthened.
Yeah, and you know who puts most of that fake money in there? We do.
Yeah.
Anyway, the girl's name or the lady's name that runs this dude now, it's like Kristalina Georgieva, I think it is. Or Georgieva. Anyway, Christiana, whatever her name is. I guess she said on Tuesday that the world economy is in the brinks of a, quote, synchronized global slowdown that will result in slower growth for 90% of the world this year. Now, what do you think about that, Kurt? Do you have any thoughts when you hear a headline like this? The leader of the International Monetary Fund, 189 nations strong, says that the world is headed for a synchronized global slowdown that will affect 90-plus percent of the nations this year. Do you want to respond to that at all?
Well, I'd say the phrase leading the witness, Sam.
Amen to that.
You know, that they're basically just, see, these are some more of the insider crowd, the guys who basically want to make it, especially in the case of President Trump, where he's running for re-election. They want to make it so that it looks like, you know, things are bad, because you got to remember that old phrase Bill Clinton taught us. Occasionally you get something good even out of a garbage can. Bill Clinton gave us this. You know, he said, it's the economy, stupid. And people vote based on, you know, how things are going. And they're trying to make the economy do poorly. Just imagine if it were the other way around and they were trying to make it do well. I mean, pretty cool.
A synchronized global slowdown. Now, let me ask you a question, Kurt. With 189 plus nations, 90% of them being affected, if you have a synchronized global slowdown, if there's a synchronization happening, do you think there's a synchronizer? Or am I just kind of stupid here?
Well, the phrase synchronized means you must have somebody synchronizing it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how that works.
So why would we synchronize an intentional global slowdown that'll affect 90% of the folks this year, Kurt? Why would you do that?
They like things to go up and down, and this is how they make money on the insider boys. You know, for example, you have the 2008 kind of crash, the Great Recession or whatever. Then they'll buy when it's low, you know. And then they'll amp it up and then sell when it's high. And that's just, and then they hope for another low so that they can continue to profit while the rest of us, you know, we're stuck in debt or whatever.
Take the beating. Anyway, I just found that interesting that they literally report this. They tell you that the International Monetary Fund has 189 members. They tell you this lady's name. She's new at it. And she's flat out telling you there's this, you know, global synchronized slowdown. And she says what it's going to do, how many people it's going to affect, and when it's going to happen. And you kind of go, is that insider trading knowledge there, Kurt, and spreading that around the world? Is that helpful? Do you think that'll help the economy weather that storm, or do you think that might feed the fire of that slowdown, global, synchronized, you know, economic storm, if you will?
Well, and you got to ask yourself, what does it mean? If somebody's watching or trying to read the tea leaves of the economy and they hear a report like this from a so-called expert, then what do? I believe that they begin to pull back their investments, if you will. They, you know, don't spend. They, you know, are more careful, that kind of thing. So what does that do to the economy when that happens? You know, our economy shouldn't be based on a debt system like it is. But when it is, if people begin to, you know, borrow less and spend less, then what that does is it automatically contracts the economy. And so they basically
engineer it.
Prophesy it, and they set it up.
So here's my question. Why doesn't Donald say, I think we're into a little less synchronization on this one. We're going to back out of the International Monetary Fund, Miss, however you say your last name, Miss George. All right, it's G-E-O-R-G-I-E-V-A. Georgieva. Okay, we're going to synchronize a little less on this one. We don't want it to affect our nation so much. So we're going to back out of the 100. We'll just leave you with 188 members of the International Monetary Fund there, you know, ma'am. That's what I think President Trump ought to do about it. But, you know, if she's right, you can expect us to be in the brinks of a synchronized global economic slowdown, Kurt, coming up this year. You know, that's going to affect Donald and his presidency and his chances for election next year. And, I mean, you know, it goes on and on and on of the repercussions. I found that fascinating. All right, there's an editorial Kurt wants to tell you about. I don't know whose it is, but the editorial says Trump's best weapon against impeachment may be his ability to change the subject, Kurt.
Well, right, Sam. It's an L.A. Times editorial. You know, at least to me, I thought, well, these people who are so good at doing this themselves, they finally recognize that the president has maybe learned from them, right?
They don't want that takeaway from their editorial. They want to just blame it all on the Donald and make him look foolish or selfish or manipulative or whatever. But you've called a spade, Kurt. And this is an interesting thing. The Democrats, whatever they're accusing the Donald of is what they've done in spades. Whatever the mainstream press seems to accuse us of, Donald included, becomes what their, you know, mode of operandus is. Trump's best weapon against impeachment maybe his ability to change the subject. And I would point, as you do, to the mainstream press and say, maybe that's why none of these things are, you know, being talked about. Maybe that's why no one's talking about the UAW union thugs literally attacking a poor mother in front of her daughter, both innocent and both helpless. And it's because we've given thug unions, compulsory unions, special favor, special protection, which has fueled their propensity for violence. Okay, now the mainstream press has already changed the subject. Well, they don't need to change the subject. They just make sure the subject never gets brought up, Kurt. Anything else interesting in this editorial from the LA Times?
I think that covers it.
But I think it's a great point and a great highlight and something to be called out. What is Trump changing the subject to? Things like pro-life, Kurt? Things like the economy's doing well? Things like we're going to back out of some wars,
example, when they're hassling him about the whole Ukraine thing or whatever, then he says, man, what about Joe and Hunter? You know, and they just don't want to hear that, you know, Sam, right?
But I don't know if he's changing the subject or if that is the subject.
Right. Well, they only want to focus on maybe some so-called what he said that, you know, they say is the way he manipulates the elections when they're so guilty of that, that it's just incredible to me.
Yeah, it seems like to me when they're focusing on Donald all the time, they've changed the subject. The subject truly should be Biden because the Biden scandal came first, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more, Sam.
All right. Anyway, very interesting. Vice President Mike Pence, shame on old confused Mike. Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States under the Donald right now, says, we need the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement for trade. Got to have that. So that's what he wants to focus on. Kurt will respond to Mike Pence in seconds. And then we'll talk about over 100 injured, 200 arrested story. How's that? Liberty Roundtable live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. So Vice President Mike Pence, we need the United States Mexico-Canada agreement for trade. Got to have it. Got to replace, what, NAFTA with that thing, Kurt? Both of them are disaster. NAFTA's been a disaster. As far as I understand, the new plan, whatever Donald got his call, I don't even remember what it's called. It's just a weird name that doesn't flow. Anyway, whatever that is, Mike thinks we need that. I want to know what you think, Kurt.
Well, I agree that we need to have trade with other nations, and you know, I think that's important. I think we need to have fair trade with other nations so that you know, if they're subsidizing their products and basically trying to put our industries out of place or out of business, then we need to watch that with our tariffs and different things like that. I don't know exactly what Mike Pence has said about this. I fear that many times even we can be, I guess you could say, victims of the establishment media. For example, when it comes to Mike Pence, you know, when the media says he's you know, scared of women just because he won't hang out with other ladies, instead he wants his wife around, I put a star on his forehead. We've seen him in person at the Republican National Convention and followed him, you know, pretty good. And if you're saying out of the politicians that we're familiar with, it's pretty hard to find too many better than Mike Pence. But you know, I don't know exactly about this situation, Sam. I don't like things
be wrong.
In the in there. I know the our buddies at Liberty Council and some others alerted us to some of the things in these agreements that are a problem, and I'm certainly not for that.
He could be wrong on one issue too, but still be a good guy and be right on a lot of things, Kurt.
Well, of course. Mm-hmm. Good point.
All right. Diane wants to chime in. She has a comment. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
You're on the radio.
What was that?
You're live on the radio.
I was going to say that maybe, perhaps, we don't see the bigger picture when it comes to this fair trade. You know, I've always been taught to be self-sufficient, and countries should try to be self-sufficient. It's fine to trade, but to bring grapes all the way from Peru, for instance, when we can have them from here. In fact, I was talking to a local farmer once, and I asked him, why don't you sell your food in their local grocery store? And they don't buy local. I think it's ridiculous. I don't think that we need this fair trade. I think we should just, all these countries should be self-sufficient. If they were, then they couldn't put sanctions, for instance, on Iran and control them that way. They couldn't control countries by stopping trade.
Well, and that's why, Diane, I say that, you know, I think Mike Pence is wrong. NAFTA is not good for us. Neither is the modern trade agreement that Donald wants to replace it with. There's a lot of gotchas. There's a lot of breach of sovereignty that relates to these, you know, global and or, you know, trade agreements that are unfair for a country. A lot of times they violate the internal affairs and laws and guidelines and parameters that govern a country's internal affairs. And so I reject a lot of these trade agreements. I do understand, as Kurt says, that, you know what, there are things that we should trade for. There's nothing wrong with trading with the world and having appropriate relations with other countries. But as you point out, we ought to do things according to an intelligent methodology. If we can produce something internally and not ship it all across the globe, the better off we are, the better off they are, the better off it is for the environment, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, then,
so there's a balance then there that needs to happen.
Then we don't have to irradiate our food. I heard of a case. I was watching, there's a program on TV, The Monsters Within You. It's about parasites and this and that. And this one man had an infestation of worms in his brain from eating tomatoes from Mexico. They don't have the agricultural standards there that we have here.
That's right, and that brings up a lot of the problem, and then we try to hire all these inspectors to deal with that, and then they don't, you know, do a great job, and then it's just more government and more controls and more regulation and more manipulation, and in that lies the problem. That's why I'm saying, you know, Mike Pence is very foolish on this one. I agree with Kurt that Mike Pence, for the most part, compared to a lot of politicians, is a pretty good guy. At least he is somewhat of a Christian, and he does his best. Compared to most, I think he's quite good. I don't think he's a constitutionalist as much as I would want him to be. But I understand, and I also agree on the trade thing that, hey, there might be some legitimate reasons for some trade. But I don't think we need these wholesale trade mandates that we've got going on to where the farmer oftentimes isn't even allowed to sell to the local grocery store. Even, for example, if they would buy it, that doesn't mean they can sell it. You look at a lot of the milk producers. Now, Kurt can respond to this. He's in a former life a dairy herd nutritionist. So, Kurt, a lot of times they're not even allowed to sell their milk unless it gets pasteurized and this and that. And then it gets sent off to this big milk pool kind of a thing. And so they don't even have a lot of control to sell it where they want to freely anyway. Right, Kurt? I mean, that's part of the problem, this regulation fiasco we deal with.
Well, of course, Sam, and we've seen that. I think that's one of the reasons for the emergence of the farmers markets and that kind of thing, because people are more and more wanting to get their food and items directly from people that they know. And you're seeing that happen. I've seen it in the milk industry, for example. You know, when a farmer would want to go ahead and sell some milk to his neighbor, they'd have some kind of regulation that, you know, he'd have to do all this special stuff to his place or whatever. And there were laws, that frankly I've broken, but that said, hey, you can't take milk out of a milk tank so you can take it home. I mean, you have to have that go through the whole chain supply and be cooked and pasteurized and everything else,
and properly labeled and so on, and the appropriate containers, and I mean, it's a lot of regulation, folks.
When you've got food coming from so far away, you have to irradiate it. They pick it before it's ripe. They expose it to gases. It's absurd. When we can have food that's local, also, they can create a famine, in my opinion, by disrupting supply lines, etc. If we're supporting local produce, local farmers, they're not going to have an easy time disrupting our food chain, etc.
Yeah, Diane's
well, you're right
on
target. She's right on target. And the other thing you can do, ladies and gentlemen, is, you know, just like you talk about having your own food supply or whatever, I mean, you can have it stored, but you can also grow things like with your neighbors, like what we do here. We've got a neighbor that, basically we do a lot of our vegetables and things across the street in their yard, and then we have chickens and rabbits in our yard. And so you can do, that kind of thing, and basically make things better right where you are. At least you know what your own food's getting, if you will.
Curtin's setting up his own rabbit stew. Hey, thanks, Diane. All right, Diane's spot on all points, and I agree with what she's saying, and we need to really work more on that. She's highlighting something very important, in my opinion. All right,
and it almost goes with this other story that's kind of hot today, Sam, is you've got California. Remember how they had those fires with all the, the power lines, bad weather, and then the power lines would fall down and spark a fire or whatever? Well, now you've got a whole bunch of them, numbers of counties where they're basically just shutting off the power to them because they've got bad weather, and so they're worried that, hey, then they'd be liable for some other fire. Hey, now people are getting their power cut. But just imagine if the people had their own power, Sam, and they didn't have to rely on Big Daddy, gridster to provide that, you know?
Yeah, they say power to hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses expected to go off, affecting millions of people in California. Because remember, the utilities got blamed for the wildfires last time, Kurt. This time they're saying, all right, if you're going to blame us for it, then we're going to just turn it off and, you know, you won't have power, but you won't have a fire. And we'll investigate all of our lines and all of our equipment. And, you know, they
now,
say it'll start early Wednesday.
Let me ask you this
Wednesday,
question,
Kurt.
Sam. Yeah, well, that's right. But let me ask you this question. Do you think that some attorney can't go after him and say, hey, man, you guys shut down the power, so then my customer here that needed that power, you know, you caused this or that, there's going to be that stuff
sadly,
to pay too, right?
In this overregulated world we live in, where everybody just wants to point the finger and everybody wants to just play the blame game everywhere, all right, I'm convinced there's no good answer. And yes, they could have trouble for that, Kurt. So there's trouble any way these utilities turn. And that's kind of the problem. You know, I personally don't want to blame the utilities for the fires. You can say, well, their equipment caused it. Well, when are they being negligent versus when do things just happen? When, if a doctor operates on you and they make a legitimate mistake, you could say, oh, they were negligent. They weren't, you know, paying attention or what. Hey, people are human, Kurt, and equipment is faulty. And, you know, things just happen. When is it just a persistent negligence reality that should be looked into versus when? And these wildfires that I see last year, you know, you got these massive windstorms, very dry heat, you know, lack of rain, drought scenarios. And, you know, then you get basically a big windstorm and then all of a sudden it thunders and lightnings happen and this goes down. And, you know, when do we admit, and they used to have this contractually speaking, Kurt, by the way, they used to say we're not responsible for acts of God. Now they don't say that stuff anymore. But the point is,
well, they don't want to bring up God, and that's right. The exact thing that I want to bring up is, you know, you look in Scripture, you'll see plenty of times when the people are wicked, or in other words, they don't keep the commandments of God. That's one of the ways he wakes them up. And yet if you bring that up, man, are you some kind of a religious zealot?
Yes, I am, and that's why I bring it up. Darn right, because it's the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Over 100 injured, Kurt, and over 200 arrested in Hong Kong protests on China's, what do they call this thing? China's National Day. So, you know, it's almost like a mini Tiananmen Square going on, Kurt, when Hong Kong and the folks there want freedom, right? It's a big old massive battle, and there were a lot of people injured and, you know, harmed in that. Over 100 injured, over 200 arrested in this thing. Hong Kong is now under the rule of Communist China, our most favored nation trading partner. But what a shame it is, Kurt.
Isn't that amazing, Sam? Wow. People want freedom everywhere. They want it in China. They want it in America. They want it wherever they are. You know?
And good on them, huh?
Amen to that.
I want freedom, too. And I'm sad that it has to be so difficult with overzealous, in my opinion, dictator-style governments. We're even trending towards that in America. Sad to say, got to put a halt to it and use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, with its checks and balances, not only in America but around the world. We got to turn to God, we got to promote family, and we got to restrain country via the supreme law. Chain them down with the Constitution, folks, is the answer. All right, hour one of the can, hour two coming up. Ammon Bundy going to be with us. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Thank Diane for her comment. She's spot on. And we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.